Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. We also have, I don't even know if he's a member. Is he still? I guess he's still a member of the show. We have our good buddy, John Peters, here. How you doing, John?
Good. How you guys?
We're doing very well. And we're only kidding him because we don't talk about enough beer on this show. John's ready to talk about beer on another show, so that's why we're picking him. So how was your weekend, guys? All good? Your weekend, guys, going good?
Oh, yeah.
Don't answer all at once, guys.
No, I'm just sitting here watching preseason NFL football of two teams that I couldn't care less about. But it's like football, so you know you have to do it. So.
Oh, exactly. I hear you. 24/7 NFL Network.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So you're starting to get sad winters. I mean, spring's on. I mean, all these people can't wait for summer to be over. They're looking forward to fall. But all fall means to me is winter's coming. It's like Game of Thrones.
Winter's coming.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's bittersweet because we all love football. But you're right, Doug. That does sound the horn for the winter winds coming. So as much as you want to get to football and get the season going, you know that you're wishing winter upon us as well.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
I hear you. There's nothing that you don't have anything like winter down there, you brat. But anyway, no, we have the other thing is also, do you notice how dark it's getting early?
Yes, I have noticed that.
And that makes me sad. I do you understand why they even keep daylight savings time?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it seems like just a pain for 1 hour. And, you know, I mean, I get it and I know why they do it. But I don't know. Your body clock gets all out of whack and two times a year. And I'd just as soon just stick with the one time and be done with it.
Well, it gets really frustrating down here because October and November are some of our best times a year, and so you know you get home and it's 5:30 and it's dark already, but the temperature's actually nice and you're ready to go outside and do something, but it's dark already, so you know it gets very frustrating. I wish I'd just get rid of it. So
the other thing I hate too is just driving home, and when it's depressing driving home in the dark. It just makes you tired. Isn't it nice during the summertime? You get done, it's still bright out, you're driving home, you feel like you still have a life.
Yeah, like you could do a little project or do something. Once it gets dark, you just want to eat and, you know, kind of just chill for the rest of the night. So I know exactly what you mean. And I actually walked the dog earlier in the morning, and I've been noticing it's been getting darker and darker in the morning. So it's definitely it's changing, or the sunrise is changing, so I'm noticing it in the morning in particular.
No, it's annoying. I don't get it. They said it was for the farmers, but I get up at the crack of dawn, too. I mean, I'm leaving for work most days, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, quarter after 5. It don't matter to me. I'd rather it be dark then because I just woke up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like the morning's ruined anyway. What's the difference if it's dark or not? But then nighttime, come home, it's like it's just like you have no day. You feel like you have no life all through the winter, and then you're freezing. At least let the sun be. See, I think it would be cheaper because if the sun would be out longer, it would help your bills. You don't have the lights or the heat on as much when the sun's shining on the house.
Yep, exactly. Take advantage of that free heat and light.
Yeah. Now, did you guys see me roaming around Ocean City this on our Twitter account?
I saw the one picture of you with the Dole Whip, fake Dole Whip, whatever it was.
Fake Dole Whip, huh?
It's actually a real Dole Whip. It's the same thing as what they serve at Disney World. It's
What did they call it, Doug? Did they call it a Dole Whip?
They call it a Dole Whip because it's by Dole, the company Dole, is why it's a Dole Whip, the pineapple. I'll tell you what, it was good. It was very refreshing. It didn't melt as fast as it did in Disney World last time, I'll tell you that much.
So did they have a citrus swirl too? Or?
They didn't have a citrus swirl, and I got picked on from multiple people about why didn't you get a citrus swirl? And I would have if they'd have had it, but that's all they had, and I figured it reminded me of Disney World. The thing was, a couple weeks ago, my friend Carol, she told me, Doug, they got a Dole Whip stand in Ocean City on the boardwalk. I said, no, they don't. She goes, yeah, it's just like Disney World. Me and Rob were all excited. So me and my wife went down. I had off on Friday. It was like a spur of the moment thing. My boss tells me the day before or during the day that we're all off for the next few days because the building wasn't ready. So one thing leads to another, so we decide to go down Ocean City, and for our day off, we decide to walk the bridge. There's a big bridge that spans the entire crossway from Summers Point to Ocean City. So we went down early, we had breakfast, we walked the entire bridge, and then we went on walked the boards for a while. And the crazy part is I did all that, and it still was only like, I guess, 60% of the normal steps I'd taken it on the job site. We walked like 14,000 steps or something, and I'm averaging like 22,000 on the job site.
Wow.
My wife was like, are you kidding me? Because I was showing her, we looked at the data, and she couldn't believe that I actually walked more at work than we did walking the whole boardwalk and walking a bridge.
That's crazy.
Does that make you feel like you're at Boardwalk at Disney when you're walking around out there, or do you have a like?
No, with the Dole Whip, that's why I was happy to get it. And my wife really loved it. She couldn't believe it. It tasted just as good. It tasted identical to it. I mean, it was really, really good. And it did bring back the whole Disney feel. And, like, just having that there, it reminded me of Disney. So, yeah, walking on the boards a little bit, it kind of gave you – it put you in a good mood having the Dole Whip.
Yeah. It's a nice little surprise or a little summer, you know, Disney-related activity that you wouldn't normally got if you were working. And on top of that, you got one of the holy grails of Walt Disney World, right?
Yeah, we got picked on for it. Like I said, everybody said, oh, it would have been better if you had a citrus roll, being like the citrus roll. And it was a straight-up Dole Whip. It didn't have any vanilla ice cream or anything like that, because you can mix that up if you want to.
Right, right.
But it was very good, and I didn't get a heart attack either this time from it. So I guess that one was better.
You didn't climb Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse right afterwards, right?
No. What I did is, after I had that, I climbed it to make sure I gave myself a stress test. I ate the Dole Whip before I climbed the treehouse.
Okay.
It was just one of those days, John. It was September. It was one of those days where it was like 98 degrees out.
Yep.
It was one of those real hot days, so I guess freezing cold. It was actually, you could feel, know how you usually get the brain freeze? I was actually getting chest freeze from it.
Yeah, you can feel it slide all the way down to your stomach, yeah, past your esophagus and stuff. Yeah, it's rough, isn't it?
Yes, it was actually felt, I mean, literally it felt like a heart attack. I've never had one, but if I kind of think that's what it feels like. It was scary. And then the idiot part is I did it like two more times.
Yeah. You ever have one of those things from Dunkin' Donuts? Yeah, what are those frozen type drinks? And I get the same thing. Like, I can have three or four sips of it, and then after that, on the fifth, I know it like clockwork, I'll start to get that sensation. But it's so good that I can't help myself, and I keep doing it to myself. I found, though, that even cold water works. If you drink some water, it'll help it out very quickly.
Yeah, it melts the ice particles in your chest, melts them down. Yeah, because my wife finally snatched it from me down at Disney World. She goes, no, you're done with this. I'm not going to sit here and watch you have 20 more heart attacks eating this.
Well, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again, expecting a different result. So there you go.
Exactly. But when it tastes that good, it's hard not to do it. It was very good. It was like, it was because it was so hot out, it was so refreshing. That's what it was. But you guys, what's your Dole Whip or citrus swirl, John?
I go back and forth. I like the citrus swirl a lot. It has more memories for me because that's the one that I used to get out there when I had a friend who we had annual passes when we were 15, 16, and we'd go out there, and that would be what we'd save up our money for the day would be to get a citrus swirl. So,
okay.
Yeah, and yeah, I actually, somewhere, I think I've got a picture that my mom took when I was a little kid with Orange Bird. So.
Nah, I'm all in for. I like both. Like I said, the thing of it is with the especially with the Dole Whip. It is, you can't be a true Disney. You can't be in the Mouse Club if you don't like a Dole Whip, it seems like, don't it?
Yeah, me, I really don't care for either one. I'd rather go with a premium Mickey bar if I'm going to get ice cream or something like that.
Nah, I hear you, Dan. It's like, but you feel like it's the cult. You got, it's like the Disney Scientology. You gotta have a, Dole Whip.
Right.
You're not in the cool club if you don't like this. So.
But I think the fact that, you know, you're saying now there's, you know, one down there in Jersey, and I know there's a couple other places across the country that have them, it becomes less of a novelty. Like, there was a time where literally you could only get it at Disney World, and I think, obviously, that's part of the attraction to them, that you can't get it except when you're on a Disney vacation. So that's what makes them so popular. I mean, I know some people really do love them and enjoy them, but I think the vast majority of people just like them or love them because, you know, it ties them to Disney and it reminds them of being in Disney World.
Well, they honestly, that's what they, I asked the girl when we were at the store, the owner, and she was like, that's how she was putting it out, just like Disney. And she said, everybody ask, is this the Disney? That's all they talk about is Disney when they come in to get the Dole Whip.
Right.
So I felt like one of the idiots going in, following. I wouldn't have felt right. If somebody didn't know I was down there and I walked by that stand without getting one, I'd have felt like I'd have lose my membership card.
Yep.
Was that like the only thing they sold there, or was it a ice cream stand too and sold regular ice cream and stuff? So.
It was all that. They sold a couple other flavors, but it wasn't a. They didn't have anything else in the Dole Whip. They did have a little bit of ice cream, but it was basically not. You could tell the big sales of that was all Dole Whip. It's all designed around that. And they got a couple other odds and ends, but basically you're going in there. They had a strawberry one, too, that they were completely out of.
I wonder, did you ask, is it like, do they have to get franchise rights, or what's the deal with that? No, you didn't get into that part of it.
I would say it's something to do with it. It has to be with the Dole company.
Right.
You know, the Dole brand. I think that's the same thing, kind of like Starbucks. It's Dole. You know, the whole brand is Dole, the Dole Pineapple Company with the, and then they also have strawberry and different flavors. So I think that's, you know, it's the same thing Disney is. That's why it's called a Dole Whip, is because of the Dole Company.
Right.
Because
I remember years ago, I remember reading on the Diz boards, there was a thread just for about Dole Whip and all that. And you could at that time, and you probably still can. I believe you can order it comes in powder form, the actual flavoring for the Dole Whip, and you know, people that couldn't get it except for at Disney World wanted to make it back home in their ice cream makers and stuff like that. And I think you buy it like in a 5-pound bag, if I recall, or something like that, and you get the powder and mix it and all that. So again, I was just wondering if you did want to carry it in your little stand like you experienced that, you know, on Friday, you know, if they just sell it to you, or, you know, if you would have to, you know, sign some kind of contract with them or something to be able to sell the official Dole Whip product. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I kind of think it's kind of a franchise with Dole, is what I would think.
Yeah.
Because they had the Dole signs everywhere, so I think there's somehow they wouldn't be allowed to use that if they were just selling a Dole Whip and not be the company.
Right.
But it was happy times. We had a good time down there. We usually do the Jersey Shore once a year just to say we did it. But it was perfect. Everybody was on the beach while we were on the board. We hit it perfectly. The bridge was pretty empty. We got there early. Then we hit the boards while everybody else was laying out. I know how to stay away from people. It's good for me. So, it was a good time. We had some fun. I beat my wife at Mrs. Pac-Man. So, Jen, we do not let you win. So don't let him think. Don't let Scott think he let you win. He didn't. So, no, I beat Brenda as good as I could until the joystick stopped working right. We're in the diner playing it, and the joystick, all of a sudden, it was so sloppy. You ever get an older game where you just can't move the way you want to?
Yeah.
It was annoying me so bad. It was like, but we had some fun. Know what it was is, you ever have a moment with your wife or your family where, and that's what we love about Disney World so much, because there's moments the entire time you're there. As stupid as it was and silly as it was, it just felt like me and my wife were teenagers again playing a video game. And we weren't thinking about anything else in the world for that half hour.
Right.
If you get what I'm saying, we're just having fun watching each other play Ms. Pac-Man, as silly as that sounds.
Yeah, a little escapism.
Yeah, we were just in the moment. It was weird. Like, all the troubles of the world went away, and we were just having fun like two kids playing a video game. It was a lot of
fun. Yeah, the most fun that my son had when we stayed at the boardwalk out at Disney was, speaking of Ms. Pac-Man, they had a Ms. Pac-Man machine inside the DVC... What's it called, Dennis? The DVC clubhouse or...
At the boardwalk, the...
I forgot the name. But anyhow, inside the DVC little rec center, they had a Ms. Pac-Man that you could play for free. And me and him just sat there for probably an hour going back and forth. So it's funny, Ms. Pac-Man there, too. So.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah, cool. And you're just used to her probably just in the moment when you're playing
yep.
It. So all you were thinking about was that silly game. It's good about little things like that, the distractions. But no, we had a good time, and I'm looking forward to now I'm going to have to sneak over there at the boardwalk, and you'll have to get me in, John, so I can beat the missus.
All right, I think we can handle that.
So, you guys want to get on some news? You got any other stories? Anything you want to talk about? John, you want to talk about your latest endeavor real
sure,
quick?
Sure. I'm part of a group called the Dizdads, which is just a bunch of dads who love Disney, and basically we just talk a lot about Disney and beer and our families. And one of them is named David, and me and him are going to start a new podcast. It's going to be called The Weekly Pint, and it's going to specifically cover the different types of beers and such that you can get at Walt Disney World, probably concerning mostly with Epcot, of course. But so we're going to be starting out within a week or two and get some of the shows up. So if anybody's interested, just look us up on Twitter or follow us off of the Dizdads podcast link. So
you're going to be talking about mostly water?
Yeah, mostly water, the different flavors.
Pints of water? No, but you might also be out of wonder down to Disney Springs,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, actually, I think Jock Lindsey's Bar will probably be one place that I want to hit and definitely talk about the... Maybe not even just sticking with beers. Of course, they have a nice selection of different mixed drinks in there, so...
And what about Raglan Road?
Yeah, they have the...
Probably have a nice little, selection.
Yeah, that place and the Hole in the Wall bar outside, so... And there's quite a few new places.
Yeah, John,
and even... Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, check out Paradiso 37. They have, I think, 30 or 40 beers on tap from a lot of South American beers and stuff like that. But and they also claim to have the coldest beer on property, too. there's a sign out there, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw that even the new Asian restaurant.
Morimoto's?
Morimoto's. They have a couple of different Asian beers that you can't find anywhere else. So it'd be interesting just all over the place, so.
So he's going to drink all these beers, do all this research and stuff like that, Dennis, and we're not even going to get it now.
Well, I'll be sure to share with you guys, too. So.
No, I wish you luck, John, and it sounds very interesting, and I look forward to the first show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll have to drink to it. Well, me and Dan, we'll have to grab a beer, Dan, and we'll have to listen to it together.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Pick on him the whole time.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's what we do best. Nah, but we wish you a lot of luck. As long as we still get some information too, John, I'll give you my blessing.
I appreciate it, so yeah.
Nah, we'll help you out any way we can.
Yeah, that's great. And you'll get the first report from the Food and Wine Festival, because we're going to be down there the Monday and Tuesday, the weekend after it starts. So.
Yeah, because you're going to stay at the... You're going to be a highfalutin.
If you want to call it that, we'll be at the Grand Floridian. I'm going to feel like a duck out of water, but...
I get the sense that isn't your choice of resorts to stay at?
We had the Bay Lake Tower, and I was perfectly fine with that. I thought we were going to really enjoy that, but for some bizarre reason, my wife wanted to stay at the Grand Floridian, so that's where we're staying. I'm trying to keep an open mind about it, and I know the DVC, there's a separate check-in for the DVC, and
right.
Hopefully it's a little more relaxed. And you know, just like you guys have always said, it's nothing that the cast members do at that place to make you feel awkward, but I'm a shorts and sandals type of guy, and I just feel totally underdressed as soon as I walk in that lobby, so...
Well, you're going to have to wear a real fancy cut-off t-shirt when you go in there on your next trip. Make sure none of the threads are showing, John, when you go in. You know what I mean?
The right over there, sir, the leak. So, But
what was that, Johnny?
I said, I'll walk in and they'll look at my tattoos and say, the leak in the plumbing is right over there, sir.
Absolutely. Nah, we only joke because we can. We're not picking on it. It's part of our show. I love the resort. The times I've roamed through it, especially at Christmas time with the gingerbread house and all. It's a beautiful resort. It just, I don't feel like I belong there, and I don't know why. It is not, like you said, it's nothing that it does. It just, I don't know. I feel the same way. Go up and fix the roof or hang some sheetrock.
Well, you'll have to check out Meisner's there. Right? Have you ever been in the Meisner's Lounge?
No, I've walked around the resort a couple of times, and to fit in perfectly, I have delivered there several times. So, but I've never walked into the lounge, or we haven't eaten at any of the restaurants. And we're going to be there for the Food and Wine Festival, so if anything, yeah, I'll check out the lounge, but I don't think we're going to hit any of the restaurants just because we'll be over at Epcot eating. So.
Right. So you're going to use, obviously, the resort loop to the TTC and then grab the express monorail to Epcot?
Yep, that's the plan. And then that way, worries about drinking and driving. So
yeah, that's awesome. So. Awesome way to get to Epcot. I mean, no buses, no car, no walking. Just hop on your cars in the Skyway?
Highway in the Sky.
Highway in the Sky.
Highway in the Sky.
That'll be awesome. That's a great way to, when you enter Epcot there and you kind of take that little loop around and get a look at the park, and then off you get and in you go.
You got it. So.
Yeah, over there at Meisner's, you can get yourself a Budweiser, an aluminum bottle, if you want a high fluting there. They got Michelob Ultra, Bud Light, Samuel Adams, Miller Lite, Corona, Newcastle Brown Ale. Do you like that?
Yeah, Jay? Yeah, that's one. That's a good one.
They got Jai Alai.
Hi-Li.
Hi-Li. An IPA, yes. Estella Artist. A Yingling Traditional Lager. Angry Orchard Cider. And then a Hagen Garden. So, and then they sell cigars there, John, if you want to go act like Thurston Howell the Third over there.
Yeah, you probably don't want to see me try to smoke a cigar. So.
You don't like cigars?
I don't like much of anything. No, I've never smoked, so it's nothing that I could even handle. So.
But the place is known. Lou goes over there. Lou's done a couple of his he does like a charity thing for Make-A-Wish Foundation. Give Kids the World. I think he does Make-A-Wish. Okay. But I think he does both, but mostly he does Make-A-Wish. And every year he does an auction, and one of the auctions is a lunch here at Meisner's with him for the day. And they do all the different Remy Martins and the Eagle Creek and the Knob Creek bourbons and all that stuff. So, sounds like you're pouring a bourbon right now, John.
Getting my last cup of coffee. Sorry about that.
it sounded like a cold beer, didn't
it? Yeah,
I
thought it was, actually.
So, but no, you should try Meisner's, like Dennis said. I think you would enjoy that place.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I'll have to take me a collared shirt so I can walk down there and fit in a little bit, I guess. And we'll go down there in my muscle shirt. So.
He probably won't wear ours, then. He'll probably wear the Diznads or his new cigars, his new beard.
I'll make sure to wear that white collared shirt and get a picture.
Yeah, he'll be wearing his, what's it going to be called now, then?
The Weekly Pint.
He's going to be wearing the Weekly Pint t-shirt. Yeah. That'll fit right in over there. Big bucket of beer on the back of the shirt. So, you ready to get into some news, Dan?
Yeah, we've got a little bit of news this week from Disney World. Not a whole lot, but my iPad here went to sleep, as usual. But let's see. Saratoga Springs to get internal bus service and other transport changes. Beginning August 29th, 2016, a dedicated bus will run internally, stopping at 7 bus stops approximately every 20 minutes. A new route will also run directly from the Congress Park stop to the Typhoon Lagoon Water Park. Thank God. Bus service to Disney Springs will be discontinued, with guests being able to choose to take the Sasagula River Cruise water taxi from the boat dock or take the walkway from Congress Park.
They must have been listening to
us then. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're taking something away, but they're giving something here. I think the good thing is that they're going to have a dedicated bus going to Typhoon Lagoon, which used to, if you were heading out to that part of property, you'd always have to stop there on the way out and on the way back. So that's a plus as I see it. The internal bus service, I mean, the way they used to do it is you could hop on any bus that was, you know, any park bus or any bus for that matter, and they'd obviously stop at the, you know, the rest of the stops through the resort. So, and by default, they really had an internal bus service, but now there'll be a dedicated bus for that. So, yeah, I guess it's good.
It's probably a good thing because it frees up seats.
Yeah, it frees up seats, but, you know, on the other side of the coin, Saratoga Springs being such a large resort, if you're at Congress Park, this works out, you know, great. You can take that little walkway, but, you know, if you're not into walking or you have an elderly person with you or somebody that can't walk long distances, this could be bad in that it's quite a haul to some of the other parts of Saratoga Springs from Disney Springs. So, you know, you'll have to really think about what you're doing and how you're traveling in order to, you know, get around Saratoga Springs after the 29th.
Yeah, well, myself, you guys know me. I love to walk in on property because I like exploring the resorts. But I do see this is nice, too, because you won't have... Because I'm sure people, like you were saying, you did have one without having one. People were hopping on to ride around the resort, and it might have made the bus full to go to the Magic Kingdom in the morning just because maybe 10 people were using it to ride up to the food court.
Right. Yep.
You know what I mean? So it does free it up to where people will stay off the Magic Kingdom or the Animal Kingdom bus first thing in the morning to save their walk to, you know, they'll be on their own private bus now and you don't have to worry about it. Because I think a lot of it has to do with the crowds, how bad they've been. I bet you they've gotten a lot of complaints about the bus service in spring.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been kind of a, you know, being it's such a large resort, it's always been an issue. And again, overall, I think this is a good thing. Like I said,
I could see if this goes good that it shows up in Caribbean Beach and Riverside.
Yeah, very well. They may be trying this out, and if it works here, it. You know, the largest resort, it would certainly work at some of the more moderately sized resorts as well.
You know,
yeah, because Caribbean...
I was just going to say, with the new pedestrian overpass bridges that they have, you know, there at Disney Springs, I'm kind of surprised they've never built just a walkway right to Typhoon Lagoon, seeing as it's just across the street like that. Because technically, you could, if you're on, not on the Congress Park side, but if you're on the other part towards the food court, you could walk to Disney Springs via the, you know, the golf course area, and then you're at Disney Springs, and basically Typhoon Lagoon's right across the street. So, yeah, I'm surprised there's not just a little peaceful walkway right over there to it.
Yeah.
No, I don't get it either. I mean, because any time I could walk, there's a lot of times where when you really look at it around Disney property, it is easier to walk sometimes. Like, I've even proved a couple times the walk from the boardwalk to Hollywood Studios, depending on where the boats are, is actually faster to wait for the
boats.
Yeah,
we almost always do that if we're staying out there. I prefer that walk anyway. Ever since you started talking about that a couple of years ago, every time we're out there, I love that little walk. So, and if you're staying on the backside of boardwalk, you come out the backside and you're, you know, just about a quarter of a mile away. So.
Yeah, we usually park right over by the tennis court.
Yeah,
to go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, many, many times. And the thing of it is, like I said, there's been times where the girls are, you know, and you know, sometimes they don't want to walk because they don't want to get it, you know, they just got out of the shower, made up. They don't want to walk all the way over there to get all sweated up again. But I'll tell them, look, we're wasting time, you know. And Brenda loves to walk, don't get me wrong, but you know what I'm saying, like mid-afternoon, you just come out, 12 o'clock, you'd rather sit on the boat and take the air condition down. Where me, I'd always choose to walk. But there's been times where that boat ride takes... And I love the boat ride, the friendship boats, don't get me wrong. But in my internal clock, it's like I could already be in the park. Do you guys agree with me?
Oh, yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I love the boats. I love the... But I think more than actually riding on the boats, I love them as part of the atmosphere and the background of the area. I love seeing them, you know. I don't know if I don't necessarily ride them all the time. I just like them being there. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than getting on one of them boats, though, and the air conditioner.
Yeah.
We had that happen one time, and oh my goodness, you opened up the windows, and it was one of those days where there was no air moving, and the roof of that boat's metal. It's like I felt like I was in an oven. Literally, I was waiting for somebody to come back and flip me over. Like, get me out of this thing, man. It was so hot.
Yeah.
Because we were sitting there waiting. I said, we should leave. Let's get off and walk. And it's like, it was just so hot. It was just one of those stifling days in August.
Yeah, and it's hard to get. I mean, we sometimes will wait for a boat if we're not in a hurry. But I enjoy the outdoor seating on those boats. Even when it's hot, I don't know. You tend to get a little bit of a breeze once the boat's, moving, even if it is a still day, like you're saying. But as you know, there are not many of those seats available. So if you're not, first or second boarding, then chances are you're going to be stuck inside, like you said.
Yeah, and if the air's not working, it's not working, because it ain't like the other boats. It's like, I enjoy the Wilderness Lodge boats, too, because they're
right,
all open.
Right.
And you do get it, and there's a nice canopy over it, so you're in the shade with the wind blowing from the water. It's a beautiful ride, no matter what time you're on. But them Friendship boats are my favorite boats, but if that air's not working, it could be stifling in there. But yeah, I'm happy about the buses, and I think this is, we started talking about them the last couple weeks about they need to do something about it, because there's nothing worse than getting a wet person from one
right.
of the water parks sitting next
yeah.
to you.
No, that's been a long time coming. I'm glad they did it, and like you said, Doug, it may be a, I'm not saying this is a trial. It sounds like this is a permanent thing, but if it's successful here, it'll probably be rolled out to some of the other resorts as well.
Absolutely. There's been a couple times. Tell me there hasn't been a few times where you got on the bus and have to see, you sit down on a wet seat and you didn't even realize it.
Yeah, yeah. It's happened.
It's not a good, like, who wants to be headed to dinner and sit next to three young kids, and nothing wrong with the kids, that just got out of the water park and are soaked.
Right.
And they're rubbing up next to you and you're ready to go over to Brown Derby or somewhere nice that night, and or over to Yak and Yeti or headed to Animal Kingdom and you're getting soaked.
Yeah, no,
on a round
it's
trip.
That, and with me, it's I always say it's
time.
It's time, and you think, oh, come on, it's 5-10 minutes, but again, over the course of your week long stay at Disney World, if you're using the buses, 5-10 minutes, 15 minutes here and there, it adds up. Next thing you know, you've lost a half a day of your vacation, on the buses and going to places you don't even want to go. They force you to go to the locations because you have no choice. If you don't have your car, and again, by and large, Disney transportation is great. They do, I think they do a great job for the amount of people they move around that property in a day or a given day. I mean, there are problems, there are issues, but by and large, it's a pretty efficient transportation system.
Oh, absolutely, and any bus they can add
yep.
helps, because the buses, and again, when we first started going down there, it seemed like the bus come every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, there was mornings where, I'm not even kidding. There was mornings where we stayed at, because we didn't drive the first, we drove down, but we never used the car because we never had to wait for
right.
buses. So we would just use the buses because it was convenient. I didn't know my way around property as good as yet, because it was the first couple years. But there was literally times where you'd see three Magic Kingdom buses come, two studio buses come. I think what happened was when the Animal Kingdom opened mm-hmm. up, I don't think they bought any new buses. I just think they just changed and took more people there.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I mean, just but the general, the gate, people coming on a given day is substantially higher than it was back in 97 or, back then.
Yeah.
So you're right, Doug. That in itself, there's just more people using the systems. And you're right. Have they added buses? Probably. But they probably haven't added enough, as many as they should have, let's just say. And, it's stretched thin, and there's just they don't come as frequently as they once did.
No, there was a time where me and Brenda and Mom literally sat there. We were waiting to go to Epcot. And we literally sat the one morning like 40 minutes waiting for an Epcot bus. I mean, that, like you're saying, Dan, time
absolutely.
Is
absolutely.
I mean, 40 minutes is like, are you kidding me? We're sitting there. I can still see it. We're sitting on the benches at Riverside and with the ceiling fans going, and I'm pacing back. Brenda and Mom are sitting. I'm pacing back and forth, back and forth. Like, where is it? And every bus would come. We're like, they're ready to get up. It would be another Animal Kingdom. Match. It was like, it seemed like, and I know it's just
right.
me, but every time you're there, it always seems like the bus you're not waiting
yep.
for comes first.
Yeah.
So or the bus you're trying to get is pulling up as your wife and your mother-in-law are 15 steps back, and you don't want to make 81-year-old mom run to the bus stop.
I've been in,
And it's pulling away. So it got to the point where, and every time we'd sit there, it was 20 minutes, a half hour. And I'm like, nah, and that's what made me start to drive, because it got to the point where it would start to pay off. You were aggravated because you were waiting too long.
Right, and especially if you have a breakfast ADR and in the park, or, you know, you may have an early fast pass or something, you start stressing out over, oh, man, we're not going to get there in time. And because, you know, the buses, they, you know, efficient as they are, they are slow, and, you know, they, some of the drivers, especially if you get a newer driver, they tend to take their, you know, their driving habits are just, you know, it just, nothing happens fast on those buses. So, you know, if you're at Riverside and you're going to Magic Kingdom, what would you say, 20 minutes, 25 minutes? Is that about right? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I mean, you know, you're looking at a half hour if everything goes smoothly, you know, and if the bus is running late, or, you know, if you happen to have a couple people with, you know, the mobile wheelchairs there and stuff. I mean, that can add a monkey wrench into your plans. And that's why they always say leave an hour. You know, you should be leaving for your destination an hour before you need to get there. So if you're trying to get to Rope Drop or whatever, you know, if you're using the buses or any of the Disney transportation, you should always allow an hour just in case something goes wrong or isn't running as smoothly as it should, because you'll be stressed out over, you know, getting to the park, you know, for your whatever.
Oh, absolutely. With Animal Kingdom, that was the straw on the camel's back with us driving. That's why we started driving over there, because with the stop at Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach, with that, we're sitting there, it's like waiting for the bus 20 minutes. Then it seemed like if you stopped at the water parks, a half hour, it seemed like it was an hour ride to Animal Kingdom, didn't it, some mornings?
Yeah, you're like,
even though it wasn't, but it was still felt like that.
Yeah, and you're right. You're, in your mind, you're thinking, oh, man, I should have been there by now. We should have already been, you know, through security. And you're right. I know exactly what you mean. And you know, unless you have no plans and no ADRs and no fast passes and all that, you know, Disney transportation can be a wonderful thing. But you just got to be prepared for, you know, potentially some waits. And it may not be getting where you think, where you want to go as quick as you think.
No, it comes down to if you're a first time, the other thing is the first few times you go down there, it seems absolutely wonderful. It is wonderful. The transportation is good. I'm not picking on it. But once you know your way around property, like you do too, John, because you drive in there all the time, when you know your way around property and you're sitting there, you don't think when you just got down there, because you don't have a clue on what it is. But then in my mind, all the times I've been there and driving around the 40 sometimes down there, the whole nine yards, I'm like, man, I could be at the animal care. I could be on the tram already headed in. By the time the bus picks me up.
See, we're on the opposite end of the spectrum now, because my wife's got the electric scooter that she gets around on. So I'm not lugging that in and out of my car every freaking time I want to go to the park. So we unload that one time when we get to the resort, and then we just get it right on the whatever bus we're going to, or on the monorail, or that way, because that makes life a lot easier, because it's a heavy son of a gun. So
yep.
But the thing is with you is you know you're going to be there again 15 times. It's just not your 1 week vacation where you feel like you spent a day on transportation.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, if for some reason the bus takes 40 minutes for us, I really don't care. It doesn't bother me. I mean, it means that I'll just have to make fast pass the next time we come on vacation for something. So, or, you know, or in 2 or 3 weeks when we get back, it's not that big of a deal. But that's the luxury of living so close, so.
Absolutely. Like me and Dan, don't it feel like sometimes you wasted a whole day on
buses?
Oh,
there's been days where I know for a fact I went with my daughter once. At the end of the day, we kind of joked. I forget what the logistics of the day were, but we looked at each other and said, geez, it seems like we spent most of the day just traveling to get to where we were going, you know, and she was right. It just, you know, something happened in the morning where the bus was late, and then this and then that, and at the end of the day, it just felt like all we did was travel and not really do anything, as odd as that sounds. So I know exactly what you mean.
You know, what...
Yeah,
that's right. What me and my son did one time when we were out there, and my wife didn't really want to go to the parks for a couple of days, we just and this is you can do if you're like us and you get to go all the time. We went down to the bus stop and we went to whatever park the bus came to first. So if it was the Magic Kingdom bus, off we went to the Magic Kingdom, and then the next day if it was the Hollywood Studios bus that got there first, that's where we went. So but yeah, that was something you could have done, you know, when you didn't get the advanced fast passes. So
Or
if you have park hop.
Yeah.
Okay. It only took 42 minutes to get the knob. I'm only kidding.
But, exactly. No, it's all good.
Disney but Roulette.
You had one of those days. We had one of those days you call, me and Brenda call planes, trains, and automobiles. You and your daughter had a planes, trains, and automobiles day. Don Candy roaming around the park.
Planes, trains, and monorails.
Yes. And you know we talk all the time on the show. Disney transportation is wonderful. It's a ride in itself, and we love it. But there are certain times where you just want to be where you gotta be where you gotta be, and it's. But there's been many times too. How many times have you been at the Riverside and you want to take the Sasquatch River? You have dinner plans, and that boat dock has like 50 people sitting there.
Yeah.
And you're watching the guy who can't park the boat or take it forever. You're sitting there, I just want to get on the boat.
And it's always like you said, when you have an IDR or something like that. If it was just a typical evening and you didn't care when you got there or when you came home, you really wouldn't mind. But it's always that time when you absolutely have to be somewhere at a certain time.
Yep, you're running late, you catch every light. You want to catch a light to look at something on your phone or something like that. Or I'm getting directions to a customer, I want to punch it in on the GPS. I'll make every light. Sometimes you say to yourself, I'm going to pretend I don't have to be here. And you'll make every light, and it don't work out that way. But yeah, you'll have it at Riverside where I love standing there, Dan, and looking at the whole area, the main house, the mill. I could stand there all the time if I don't know where to be. But like you said, you want to get there, you got reservation at Jock Lindsay's, at the Boathouse or something like that, and you'll go down in the or Wolfgang's, the line will be all the way up the deck, all the way around, it'll be up where you rent the boats at.
And I must say, and I know I sound like a broken record, but I'll say it again. I mean, I'm a big advocate of cabs and now Uber. You guys, we talked about the last show or the show before. I mean, you know, but again, I realize that, you know, some families, they've exhausted all of their disposable income just to book the trip and get there. So, you know, that may not be an option for them. But if, you know, if money's not an object, and, you know, and I say it all the time, time is valuable when you're on vacation. If I see the lay of the land is such that it's going to be, you know, an hour before I can get on that boat to go downtown or whatever, I have no qualms of spending $10 to get there in 5 minutes. I mean, to me, that is more, you know, more valuable to me than waiting for the hour. But that's just me.
Do you guys know? I can't remember what resort it was. I thought it was Kidani Village, but they had it might have been somewhere else. But they had put in screens that showed each bus, you know, the Magic Kingdom bus, the Epcot bus, and then how far away they were and the approximate time that they were going to get there. And I remember, and we used it, and you could tell, you know, you had 10 minutes to go on this one and 15 minutes, and they were pretty accurate. But I don't remember if they had put that in everywhere or if that was just at that one resort.
I've seen it.
I wonder if you can get it on your phone now.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I hope they make it so you can get it on your phone. But I, to answer your question, John, I believe they're putting them in all over property. And I've heard similar things from other people that they are fairly accurate. I'm assuming it's, you know, GPS somehow, you know, they're actually monitoring where the actual bus is as opposed to doing estimates based on where they were last, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah, it was the bus driver's biggest glory when. But I don't know. The buses, I enjoy them. I like them. And like I said then about the boat rides going back and forth. The only reason I like to take them a lot of times, we drive everywhere, is because when we are going out, like you were saying earlier, John, about the drinking and driving. Even though I'm not a guy that's going to have 7 or 8 beers, but when I have 2 and maybe the third one, I want a third. That's when I start to feel like that's my limit. You follow me? Like, the third one is off limits to me to drive.
Right.
So when I'm in Disney, if I'm out to dinner and me and Brenda are having a good time and we just had a meal and I had two drinks at the meal, and then maybe we want to go grab something else as we're walking around or sit out on one of the terraces down there, I don't want to not have my third one and worry about driving home. If that makes sense to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one less stress. I mean, because it one less thing you have to worry about. So it and like you said, by that time, you don't mind going. Usually you don't mind going back, especially from Disney Springs, waiting for the boat or something like that. It's getting there that you're a little antsy about, you know.
Especially if you have an ADR. That's the biggest thing, like Dennis said. So, yeah, I mean, we stopped taking the buses just because of that. But now that maybe Disney's listening, and they're starting to do, because we got another story coming up with the buses. Should we just carry that one right in now, Dan? I'll read it if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead.
They have buses now that are going to be, speaking of Disney Springs, they got the buses that are going directly from the theme parks now. Beginning August 28th, there will be a new direct bus service from all Walt Disney World theme parks to Disney Springs from 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. or until 2 hours following park close, whichever is earlier, daily. The new service is one way only, meaning to return to a theme park, guests will need to first go to Walt Disney World Resort Hotel and then transfer there back to one of their one of the parks. Disney Springs recently opened its new bus terminal, which has much more capacity than old downtown Disney stops and drops guests off right at the center of Disney Springs. So this is a good thing if you want to go to one of the parks, which is awesome. Isn't it nice if, say, you decided to eat at the boathouse at 6 and you are taking transportation? Isn't it nice? That gives you extra time in the parks where you can just hop on the bus and go right to the springs instead of having to get on a bus back to your resort and another bus down to Disney Springs.
Yeah,
I love this.
Yeah, I've done that before, and talk about wasting time. I mean, it'd take you an hour and a half to do that whole thing. That's a great thing. But, you know, with all the money they invested in Disney Springs, it tells me the fact that they'll get you there, but they're not interested in getting you back to a theme park. They want you down there with your wallet so you can spend money. So they figure this is a way that instead of people potentially going back to their resorts after being at the theme park, it'll make it easier to get to Disney Springs and spend some more money. So it helps the guests out, as well as Disney having that place with as many people as possible to, you know, get some more dollars.
And I also think it has a lot to do with what I just said as far as dinner reservations. It allows them to be on property more than hanging out at the resorts where they can spend money.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, even though resorts are on property, but face it, when you're at the resorts, there's probably a figure that they already have figured out you're going to spend when you're staying at each resort.
Right.
You know, there's only so much you're going to do on that. You're going to do what you're going to do there regardless of how much time you're there, if that makes sense to you. You're still going to find a way to spend your dollars and get your resort stuff. But being the service starts at 4 p.m., that says they're trying to get you there at 7, 8, at 9, down to your dinner.
Yep.
And they want you to be out to be at the parks, because that does make a big, big difference, because I could even see me maybe using the bus service, again, if I'm talking about what I'm going to be doing now. I mean, this makes it easier for me if I have an ADR at Marimoto's or Boathouse or something like that at 7. I could say, Bren, let's go to the Magic Kingdom for the day, and then this way we'll just take the I'll take the bus to the Magic Kingdom, because I'll take this bus to the Springs and then take the boat home, and I know I could have a few drinks with dinner.
Right.
Not have to worry about exchanging my car and everything.
Yeah, and the reason I think it's only one way specifically is because you would be able to park technically at Disney Springs for free and then take the bus directly to the Magic Kingdom or to Epcot, and you wouldn't have to pay that $20 parking charge. So.
There you go, John. There you go. That's why we got you on the show, thinking outside the box.
Yeah. No, I just figured why Disney would do that. That's why.
That's exactly why, so they don't lose $20.
You got it. So.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, John. You're right. Those parking garages would be smashed.
Yeah, if they were going to do that and allow you to park there and then take the bus right over. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No, we figured you out, Disney. What's your next story, Dan?
Let's see. As we all know, the Main Street Electrical Parade will be ending its run at the Magic Kingdom on October 9th. So if you're heading down there between now and then, you definitely want to check this out, or you'll have to go to California to see it after the 9th, as I think it'll be opening out there at some point after a short refurbishment or reworking of some of the parade floats and such. But you know, it'll be missed, as we said, but I'm sure whatever comes in its place will be, you know, will be enjoyed as well.
Every time I see, hear the electrical parade, I think of 97, the first year we were down there. We were coming out of around Liberty Square there. We were in one of the shops, and I remember Ariel and the fish spinning around with the lights blinking, and I was, like, freaking out. I couldn't believe how awesome that thing looked. Like all the technology, and then thinking about it was old then.
Right.
How much work went into making that. Like, it was just awesome to watch that. And that music sticks in your head. It like imprints in your brain. I was listening to that music in my head for like 2-3 weeks after the trip. It would go from the electrical parade to It's a Small World the whole time.
Yeah.
It was like Disney torture.
Throw a little tiki room in there, you'd be.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what they should use if we if you need somebody to talk. Just put them in a cell and play those the Electrical Parade movie, tiki room, and then play It's a Small World for hours. They'll tell you anything you need to know.
That's for sure.
But, I'm going to miss it. I like the Electrical Parade. That was probably one of my favorite parades.
Yep, and like I said back when we talked about it when we first heard this story, it'll be back at some point in the future. I don't know when, but it'll come back.
Absolutely. I just wish Tapestry of Nations would come
back. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
That would be awesome.
You guys can go. Let me sing. I'm good. Yeah. I'll be background music.
Let's see. Next story here. Disney steps up fight against Zika at Walt Disney World. Disney is taking further measures to help control the spread of the Zika virus in the state of Florida, with new guests facing mosquito control measures. Beginning today, which is Sunday, all Walt Disney World locations, including the parks and resort hotels, will be offering free mosquito repellent to both guests and cast members. In addition, Disney is handing out flyers to all guests arriving by car at the auto plazas, giving information and tips for mosquito control. Disney already has a comprehensive mosquito control program in operation in its Florida resort, but with the heightened need for further control, the company has taken additional steps in recent weeks. Beyond the new guest initiative, Disney has also moved to eliminate filled standing water areas around property, which includes filling in areas of the former River Country Water Park. So, this is pretty significant program they're coming up with, and I must say that they're on the ball, and it's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, it looks like they got some major money from Qatar.
Yeah, that could be.
No, I have, touch on wood, I've never been beaten or eaten by a mosquito in Disney property. Have you guys ever really been bitten? I've never been attacked by mosquitoes there. I've never had a problem with it.
See, the funny thing is, if you think about Port Orleans, I basically live in an area very similar to that. We have a lot of palmettos and a lot of swamp, marshy area right behind us, and the river's a block away. I can walk outside at dusk here, and within 3 minutes, I'll have 5 bites on me, and I can do the same thing at Port Orleans at exactly the same time and not get bit a single time. So, yeah, it's kind of almost a little scary how there's no mosquitoes at Disney World that I've ever seen.
I've told this on the story before, and this is just my what I've observed there. If you're up early in the morning, and Doug, I'm sure you've seen this too, but you'll see the little, they use the little Cushman carts or whatever, and they have tanks on, and they spray that. If you notice at the resorts, they have this odd smell, and I never knew for years when I first started going there what it was, but that's what they do. I got talking to one of the guys one morning, and they spray in and around all the bushes, all the shrubbery, all around the pools. Whatever it is, he never did tell me what the actual.
They're probably allowed to still use, they're probably the only ones still allowed to use DDT.
Yeah, DDT, right.
They should bring that back, man. There'll be no bed bugs or mosquitoes.
Yeah, good stuff. But anyways, that's exactly why there are, you know, I won't say there's no mosquitoes, but certainly you're right, John. Face it, Disney World is built in a swamp. I mean, the whole state of Florida is pretty much a giant swamp. So, I mean, it's a prime breeding ground for mosquitoes and other things. But the fact that you can go on property, like Doug just said, and, you know, I don't recall ever being bit by a mosquito all tells you that they must have a very comprehensive program because, you know, even though it's Disney World and as we always say, inside the confines of the gates there with the purple signs, you know, it's a different world and the real world doesn't exist. Mosquitoes don't know that it's Disney World. So whatever they're doing it well because they have a good handle on, you know, mosquitoes and bugs in general at that resort.
Well, Dennis, I want to thank you. I have wondered what that smell is in the morning for years.
That's what it is. Yep.
I've wondered and wondered. Now I know. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen them out there, Den, many, many times. I've talked to the landscapers, the contractors. I always want to steal their trucks.
Right. And to me, the smell isn't off-putting. It's just an odd smell. And I never – it was just for years, I'm like, what the heck is that? And at first, I thought it was just the resort we were staying at. And then I went to another resort, and I smelled the same odor, in particular in the morning, you know, as when they do the applications. And, you know, it's their, you know, mosquito repellent or whatever it is. If you smell a funky smell in and around the resort, that's what it is.
Yeah, because I thank God because my wife is the type, there are going to be 100 people in a room and one mosquito, and she's going to get bit 8 times. She just gets bugs. I don't know what it is. I feel bad for her how bad she gets tore up.
Right, right. Well, and now with this disease, you know, the Zika virus, you know, it's serious stuff. And, you know, there are always, every couple of years, there seems to be some, you know, terrible disease that's associated with mosquitoes and potentially spread of the disease through mosquito bites and such. So it's serious stuff. And didn't a couple people die down in Miami, John? Is that, or were they just get sick?
I don't know if they died, but they were sick.
Yeah. But, and, you know, it's serious stuff. And, you know, for Disney, let's face it, that could be the worst. Well, maybe not the worst possible thing, but, you know, if somebody or a group of people got sick and they attributed it to, you know, this Zika virus and mosquitoes, I mean, think of what that would do to their bottom line. I mean, people, I wouldn't, but I'm sure there'd be a vast majority, not a vast majority, but some people that would cancel their vacations because they're, you know, freaked out over something like that. So that's the last thing they need. So I'm willing to bet they've even stepped up their you know, control measures since this Zika virus has been in the news.
Well, this came up and I was going to do another one of my clairvoyant things because on the news here they were talking about it all week how people are questioning or thinking about canceling their trips to Disney World. It was a whole thing on the morning news because of the virus being down there, because people canceling their trips to Florida. And before I seen this, I was going to say, well, you're going to hear something coming from Disney where they're doing something about mosquitoes,
right,
or to say our parks are mosquito-free, or, you know, something, because there's been a lot of rumblings going around of people canceling their vacations to Florida now.
Oh, yeah, boy.
With the whole Rio thing.
Interestingly enough, I saw that come out yesterday on Facebook. I saw that thing about the mosquito repellent at the Disney, and then a page down a little bit, about 10 minutes later, sure enough, right on the heels, Universal does the same thing in their resorts.
Absolutely.
So.
They probably have DEET.
As
Disney
usual,
has cut
Universal.
Her day of DEET.
Yeah. As usual, Universal is following on the heels of Disney.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. You don't sound bitter at all, Dan.
No,
I'm kidding with you. No, I'm just kidding. No, but, you know, I don't like wearing that stuff, but I think the women also get it more than men because they wear all kind of lotion and stuff like that. And face it, if I was a mosquito, I'd bite my wife before I'd buzz my crusty old man.
Yeah.
So, what's next, partner?
Yeah, Western Way to be extended through Flamingo Crossings to Route 545.
You know where this is, don't you, John?
Yeah. It's out on that, near that secret entrance. Well, not secret, but kind of back entrance to Walt Disney World.
Yeah, plans have been filed for an extension of Western Way to Route 545 Avalon Road. The four-lane road will join the existing Western Way at Flamingo Crossings just beyond the intersection with SR 429.
Yeah.
And will pass through from Flamingo Crossings, connecting to Avalon Road 545. Western Way was built as a new western entrance to the Walt Disney World Resort, entering property near the Disney's Coronado Springs Resort. Flamingo Crossings recently opened Spring Hill Suites and Town Place Suites hotels, but has so far not been able to attract tenants, becoming the lodging, and retail district that Disney had originally planned. Thanks to da 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 da. So, interesting that they put right here in this story that Disney's having trouble attracting tenants. You would think they'd be beating on the door to get in there, but what do you guys think is going on there?
What's it look like over in that area, John? Because I haven't been over there.
All right.
That's over the other side by the Animal Kingdom, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah, if you, I know when you guys do drive down, you come down 95 to I-4 and then take I-4 right over to Walt Disney World, right?
Yeah, that's it. Now, this is over by that back getaway over by the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So
I've been out there before when I went to Mrs. Goss, but I don't like, I'm not there enough to pay attention to all that.
Yeah, this is the folks that come down 75, and then you get on the turnpike, and you come take the turnpike into Orlando, and then from the turnpike you can take the 429, and 429 dumps you right off at Walt Disney World property, and there's no traffic that direction. It's the way we go, and it's the best entrance in the world, because usually you're out there by yourself, and there's a, you know, the gate you go through that says Walt Disney World and the whole thing, so there's one of them out there too and everything, so you feel like you're getting on Disney property. There's just a lot less people, but the two resorts, they're sitting there right at the 429, and I think it's just because there's just not a whole lot of traffic out there that people really don't even know that they're open. We watched them being built, and now they are open, and they actually have really good rates, and they look like a decent hotels. I mean, there's no theming to them or anything like that.
What they remind you of is the really nice, I mean, I know it's a Townsend Place Suites and what was the other one? The Townsend Place Suites and the Spring Hill Suites. And that's what they are. I was just going to say, I'm looking at them now. They remind you, like, not how you're driving down and you get the beautiful courtyards by Marriott's all over
yeah,
the place.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what
they
look
like. They're both Marriott, so that's where me and Brenda usually try to stay because they're usually the cleanest. I'm not saying they are, but they're our favorite hotels to stay at on the way down.
Right.
When we're driving.
Well, if you guys remember back when this story first broke, they had originally said that this was going to be built for cast members to be able to shop and go out to eat, and it was going to be more of an affordable type district with moderate type hotels, you know, and for them to stay if they wanted to book vacations and not stay at the, you know, the Disney resorts on property. Well, these are on property, but the core Disney resorts. So that was the intent back then. And I don't know. I think with all the hubbub about Disney Springs and all of the new retail locations down there.
Push this aside.
Yeah, it's kind of the forgotten, you know, area. I mean.
Well, maybe it's going to take a new plunge now. That the Springs is almost done. Maybe we're going to start emphasizing on this by putting this new roadway in. What do you think, John?
That would be nice, and just to have something. I mean, Animal Kingdom and Coronado, they're kind of out there, and if you're going to take a bus or something to Disney Springs, that's a pretty good hike. So if you did have something, right now there's no stores or retail outlets. It's just those two resorts, but it would be quite convenient for folks that were staying at those two resorts to get over there and back.
Yeah, because it says here, originally announced back in March of 2007, the 450-acre Flamingo Crossing has been slow in development, which with only the two Marriott hotels being built so far. The original development plans included 4,000 to 5,000 low to mid-rise value-priced lodging units and 300,000 to 500,000 square feet of commercial space designed around the retail village. The development is planned to become a convenient shopping and service center for cast members, nearby residents, and Central Florida visitors. The other positive thing is, too, is the addition of the two Marriott hotels makes Flamingo Crossing a viable alternative to more expensive on-site accommodation for visitors to Walt Disney World. With two locations that is as close to the parks as some of the on-site hotels at very competitive rates, two-bedroom suites are available for under $200 per night with King Bed Studios at $140 a night. That sounds pretty good for brand new hotels.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the other thing that they have built out there, and it's about, I would say, a quarter mile away down Western Road is the Western Way is the cast member retail store. Mm-hmm. There's a brand new one of those that guy got us into a couple of months ago. We were able to go in there and do a little shopping, but it's the cast member store is out there too. So I think you're right with it being targeted towards cast members, that whole area. So
Yeah, because it's 5 minutes. That's what I said. It's 5 minutes from the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right there. But,
absolutely.
No, I would like them to... the more they build around there, the more it diversifies everything, like opens everything up. I mean, I know it's huge as it is, but as packed as it's been over the past few years, any way they could spread out the people, the better for me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure I remember reading that the intent was to have some restaurants, like some of the chain restaurants, you know, Pizza Hut or Olive Garden,
like
yeah, all that stuff. I thought they talked about potentially another AMC movie theater, you know, stuff that, you know, cast members could pretty much do what they needed to do, you know, maybe a laundromat, you know, things of that nature out there. But it sounds like, you know, they've had trouble getting others to sign up to, you know, rent or lease these spaces out. So we'll have to monitor this in the coming months and see what comes of it.
Yeah, Disney's probably asking for an arm and a leg to rent
yeah.
that area, man.
I'm sure.
But I know you're going into next. I'll just cover for you real quick because we already spoke about this. But the Planet, the Hollywood Observatory construction update.
Mm-hmm.
Did you were you looking at the pictures on that too?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we spoke about this on last week's show. There's really not an article or anything, but as you see the square building going next to the rotunda, the round building, it's really starting to come into shape. It's really going to look cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this. I'm really looking forward to seeing the new – it's hard to explain, but the new building, the square building, kind of looks like a mini kind of museum or a memorial in, like in Washington or in the city. You know what I'm talking about, the design of it?
Yeah.
It looks
yeah.
like a monument or a memorial.
Yeah, it kind of looks classy.
Yes. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's buzzing right along, as you said. And, you know, hopefully this fall, later this fall, it'll open up and you know, we'll have another place we got to get to.
Yeah, well, both this and the continue on, both that and Fulton's Crab House are supposed to open around the same time, late fall.
Paddlefish.
Don't that make you want to? It's crazy, but just by them redone, they had to do it. Like we said months and months ago that these resorts these restaurants have to do something to keep up with the new kids on the block. But now I don't know where to go, dude, on my next trip. I'm going to be sitting there in the middle and end up going nowhere.
Right.
I want
right.
to go everywhere.
Exactly.
Too many decisions.
It's crazy as many new restaurants. In fact, we just got under 60 days for our trip. And what did I book? What is it, John? Art Smith's?
Yeah, the Florida Fresh.
Yeah, the Florida-themed restaurant.
Yeah,
we booked an ADR for the day we get into town, so we're going to check that place out.
All right.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing the review on that.
Yeah.
You like fried green tomatoes there, Dennis?
No, but I'll find something that I'll enjoy. Actually, I don't mind those. Is that a Florida thing?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's a Florida Southern thing, but yeah, I know that's one of their that and their fried chicken are a couple of their signature dishes they have. So
that's the homecoming restaurant, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna get Church Lady deviled eggs, Dennis.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, they look, that's pretty crazy looking. If you see the picture of it, the way the eggs are done, it looks like ice cream cones. They look so interesting. It's like that you get six deviled eggs, and they're real. And don't take it the wrong way, guys, but they're really cute.
Okay.
But they're sitting in this six. It looks like an egg carton, and the way they're sitting in there, it looks like they're literally. It looks like a Dole Whip. The
wow.
way the eggs are spun up. That's how fluffy the egg look. The yolk. The way they do it. I mean, I want to try it now.
Well, I'll have to get one of those or six of those or whatever and do a report on them for us.
Yeah, they look really good. And you get a bunch of puppies.
Mm-hmm.
There's Church Lady deviled eggs, Jasper board, assorted palmetto cheese, smoked sausage, shaved ham, bread and butter pickles, and and candy pecans. Then you got the Church Lady deviled eggs. You got Bay Haven, Bay Fry green tomatoes. That's what John was talking about.
Yeah.
And they have shaved ham, remoulade sauce, and dressed local greens with them.
Hmm.
And then a bunch of puppies. House-made pimento cheese hush puppies served with red jalapeno. They sound pretty good.
Yeah, some different stuff on that menu, and that's well. I not only thought the menu looked interesting, but the price point was fairly reasonable for.
Well, you don't get banged over the head your first day there.
Well, that's exactly why I picked it, because we have some other ADRs that are going to cost us that arm and leg you were talking about earlier. So
a couple feet we'd, too.
Yeah, figured we'd go easy the first day, so we'd try something that was a little more moderately priced for one of the Disney restaurants.
Yeah, they got shrimp jubilee, barbecue chicken wings, and Anna Maria's fish dip, an icon of Florida favorite, smoked in-house and served with buttermilk crackers. Have you ever had Anna Maria's fish dip, John?
No, but I do deliver to Anna Maria Island, so I imagine that's probably where it's from. So.
Well, you have to try to get some of that.
Yeah.
Let me see what Dennis is going to get on the entree. You got to book. Pretend this is Be Our Guest, then you're going to book 2 months in advance.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to get the shrimp and grits, then?
No.
I don't think you'll get that. Let's see. It looks pretty good, though. Fried catfish, strip steak topped with palmetto butter, fish of the day, Art's Famous Fried Chicken. I think that's where Dennis is going. Then you got sandwiches, fried chicken sandwich, the Hamilton Fried Catfish Sandwich. You like catfish, either you guys?
I do, actually. I don't like the look of it, and I mean fat catfish, and they're nasty looking, but the meat is nice and white, and it is good. So the answer to your question is yes, I like catfish.
I live on a river. What do you think?
You love catfish. We have a ton of it up here. I remember as little kids we used to fish, and one day we caught a bunch, and we're ready to throw them back. And this old man, he must have been in his 70s, and I bet you he'd have beat Carl Lewis or Hussein Bolt in a race to get those catfish from us before we throw them back. Because we were sitting there, we were probably 12, 13 years old, and me and my buddy Bill couldn't, the same thing, couldn't stand the look of them. But we kept them hooked up and in the water, you know what I'm saying, so you wouldn't catch it again, and we wanted to keep it alive. And then all of a sudden, he heard us talking about getting rid of them. Man, he ran over and snatched them 4 or 5 catfish out of our hands. I was like, Usain Bolt ran and got these from us.
We used to call them hornpout up here. I don't know why, but they were called hornpout. And they had those on the sides there with them quills or whatever they call them that would stick you.
Yeah. You gotta pick up a catfish in a very careful manner. So.
Right. So I hated catching those because it swallowed the hook so much, and they were a pain to get off the hook. And like you just said, John, if you didn't hold them just right, you'd get pinched with that thing or whatever. So I like eating them more than catching them. Put it that way.
Yeah, the work's all done. Just fillet it up, put it on a plate for me.
Exactly.
And then they have the Hamilton, Dennis. It's a lunch counter style with 2 burger patties on a thick sliced bread topped with white cheddar, grilled onions, bread and butter, pickles, and tomato, served with a side of chow chow relish and a house-made barbecue chips drizzled with icebox dressing. That sounds pretty darn good.
I'm going for the Hamilton.
Dennis, if you Hamilton? Order that, you have to order it with chow chow, just like Doug just said.
Yeah, chow chow.
Yeah. No, that does sound good. I think that's what I'm going to go for.
Okay, so you're going to get the, for appetizer, the fried green tomatoes and
the deviled eggs.
The deviled eggs. Deviled eggs, man. You're going to, the first thing you're going to look at them, you're going to go to your wife. Aren't they cute?
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll remember that then when you order them.
I'm going to get them.
See if you can keep the egg carton.
Yeah. I'll definitely take some pictures.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Where else did you book?
Oh, where else did I book? We're going to Cali Grill again. I didn't see the whole list. My daughter actually did the ADRs. The only one I did was the Art Smith's, so I don't know where else we're going other than the California Grill. I will get a full account for next week's show, and we can talk about those.
Yeah, you think he knows we do a podcast, John. I mean,
yeah.
I'm surprised he allowed somebody else to book his ADRs for him. So.
Exactly. I'm shocked. How did you let your daughter book? I didn't know your daughter was going on this trip with you guys.
Oh, yeah. They're going. They're staying at Coronado, too, and I believe Bob and Mary are coming down for the weekend or 2 or 3 days, and they're at Coronado, so we'll be taking over the Coronado Springs there for a week anyways.
I didn't even know the kids were going. Coronado actually opened up for my Disney travel, if I'm off.
Ooh, nice.
But I can't book it yet because I don't know what the deal is with work.
Oh, yeah,
like
that's
I told you, we got this little hiatus, and then we got this big We got a big hotel to remodel in Seaview, which is right outside of Atlantic City. We're remodeling that. Then we also got work in in the Bally's Casino and the Tropicana Casino. So I don't know what the deal is on scheduling right now.
Right.
As soon as I know and I can get I don't need much of a warning, but I need more than a one-day warning.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to Doug before the show, John, when he said he was off for, you know, a couple of weeks from his job. I said, gee, I'm surprised you didn't hoof it down to Disney World, but not enough time to plan.
Yeah.
No, not with Labor Day here. We already have family plans set up.
All right.
You know, people are coming over next weekend. We're actually having a barbecue. A bunch of my brother and sister-in-laws are coming in, or my brother and sister-in-law is coming over. We're going to do game night on Saturday. And we have this whole thing planned for actually a month or so now, just to do something as a family.
Cool.
So that was out. And then, you know, just getting my wife off. She don't mind giving them a couple weeks notice, but not a few, you know, she wants to give a few weeks, not just say we're going away next week. Like I said, the couple trips that we had that was like that then is because her lab shut down. She got to notice that we're shutting. Like the one year was like a week before that they said they were shutting down for 4th of July week.
Right,
for two
right.
weeks. They shut down for 2 weeks to redo the lab. So my brother was down there already, so I said, let's go, and we ended up going. So we've done a few of them when her lab was shut down for reasons, because me working for myself, that wasn't a problem. But with her, you know what I mean, 2 weeks is kind of tight. But I'm hoping to get more of see more of a plan after the next couple of weeks. I'll know more of when I can squeeze out of here.
Right, right.
Is what I'm hoping for. Do you have anything else with news?
Let's see, last chance to see Le Parfait Inconnus at Epcot's Canada Pavilion. Alberta bound set to return. So it looks like the cycling out of acts, at least it seems, at the Canada Pavilion continues. So Alberta Bound, as we know, was there. I think they were the first one in after the Lumberjacks left, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, they're going to be switching these two musical acts out. So
yeah, they actually had that other band in between too.
Oh, I forget what their name was, but
yeah, there was another band in. This is like the third act since the Lumberjacks or something. But do you kind of wish they'd have just kept? Don't they think they would have just wished they would have kept Off Kilter?
Yeah,
been easier. I mean, and nothing against these bands, but it's like they're coming in and out so fast, you can't even get a liking for them. Like
right.
You can't get I don't know. It can't become tradition. You keep moving the stuff.
Well, I agree. But like I said, I think that the Off Kilter thing. I think Disney doesn't want to admit it was wrong, and they're just not going to do it. That's just my feeling. I could be wrong, but I just think that with all the pushback from the Disney community, and I just don't see them ever coming back there. But I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, you and my wife can see that side of stubbornness, I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
I know how it is when you two get your heels dug in.
Yep.
Disney World must be Disney must be a Pisces. But no, I mean, it's just a point. If I'd have known this was closing down, I might have gone down and seen.
Right. Yeah.
I'm kidding. But you know, I just bring Off Kilter back, Disney, or find something really good that can stay here for a while.
Well,
I don't think the changing in and out is good for anybody.
Well, you know what? Whoever they put in there right now is only going to be there for, 2 months anyway, because they'll have the holiday Christmas band come back, I would imagine. So,
yep.
Yeah. So.
But Off Kilter even still played then, even when the Christmas group would come in, wouldn't
they? Yeah.
Yeah,
last year, though.
They'd play alternate nights.
Yeah, the last year it was just the holiday show, though. They didn't have anybody else, so.
Yeah, because there's no there's no affection for this group. There's no it's not a part of your tradition anymore. And like I said, they're probably all wonderful people, and I wish I'm more of trying to give them a chance than anybody else. But if you keep switching in and out, how's anybody going to grow to like them? I don't know. I maybe it's just me. I don't know.
No, the last one in there, they were pretty entertaining with the juggling and playing music at the same time and stuff. It was probably the most entertaining that they've had, but like you said, we got out there to see them one time. It's not like we even go see them again. So
No, because you're waiting for them to leave. Like, with Off Kilter, they became like family in the parks. You know, yeah. It was old friend.
But if again, I don't agree with this, but if you remember what Disney said, All Around World Showcase, their new strategy is to not lock in the long-term deals, if you will, and that pretty much every 6 months they'd be rotating entertainment in and out of there. So, you know.
Well, tell them to rotate those Flag Corps in Italy out of there, if you would, please.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I liked it better with the, you know, like over at United Kingdom. I love my old classic rock going on over there, knowing that's going to be there. Yep. I look forward to that. It's, you know, it's tradition for me. And there, and so is Kilter. And it's like, now it's getting more and more like, yeah, the flag guys have been there forever. The like, I miss, have you guys seen, the last couple trips I haven't seen, have you seen the statues or anything of France? They got rid of all that, too. The mimes?
Yeah, I haven't seen the mimes, but I've seen the chair guy is still there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's the still chair there. Guy, but remember the mime that would be there, like, wouldn't move? I missed that.
I have not seen that in years. To be honest with you. I don't, John, what about you?
No, I haven't seen that, and I haven't seen the statues in a very long time either. Very long time.
I love the statues. So. When they scared the living bejesus out of my dad, it was one of the favorite parts of my trip. I wheeled his chair right over next to those statues, knowing what was going to happen, and it was wonderful.
As a matter of fact, I maybe that'll be Beer Solo's pick of the day. I think I have a picture of my son and my brother with those statues, and they did exactly the same thing. They went up and posed, and then right when I was taking the picture, they pulled on his hair or something and scared the crap out of him. So
yeah, it was wonderful. My dad's sitting in a chair, and I just pushed him over and left him there, and then I winked at the statue. And the statue didn't wink back, but I, like, backed him right in front of the statue. And when that statue reached down and grabbed him, oh, my goodness. I thought he was going to walk. His back was all locked up, but I thought he was going to hop up and run out to the Epcot Lagoon. I was hoping, anyway, get his back cleaned up.
Yeah, there you go. I'm cured.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for, but little Disney extra magic.
Yes.
But that's about it for the news.
Yeah, that's all I had. That and like you alluded to, with the construction continuing at the observatory, and also construction was continuing. There was another one.
Pizza Rizzo construction. Yeah,
Pizza Rizzo. Yep. And the Streets of America demolition is underway at the studios.
I would love to see that. That's one I was going to bring up, too. It's pretty cool to see the Star Wars signs and all on there. Have you seen any of these walls yet, John?
No, we haven't been out to the studios probably in 2 or 3 months now, so need to get back out there and get some pictures.
Yeah, because there's a big, huge Star Wars picture on the walls there. It looks really, really cool. It has like the Star Wars insignia at the top, like the plaque. You know what I'm talking about, how they do the lettering of Star Wars.
Yes.
And then a big picture of the new land that's going to be going up back there. And I would like to see the Streets of America coming down, just to see it, but it would be sad though too, wouldn't it, guys?
Yeah, to see all that, you know, all them places that, yeah, they would, you know, we got so many memories and pictures of and all that stuff. Seeing the wrecking ball go to it would be kind of sad, but at the same time, it would be interesting seeing it, you know, being demolished.
Yeah, it's just nothing goes on back there anymore. It's a shame, but it needs to be done.
Oh, yeah.
Although, there'll probably be a pin out with a relic from the Streets of America in it pretty soon for you to purchase, right?
Oh, so. Yeah. Oh, and speaking of those pins and stuff, did you see, John, the picture of John's Vinyl Nation?
No, I missed that. What was it?
Oh, it's his cabinet. Man, he needs a... does he have a sickness.
that's my wife's collection. Mine is probably about half that size, but I've got even more, so it's...
Just knowing you got another cabinet of that.
Yeah.
It's a whole curio that has like 1,000 of them in it, then.
Is it on your Twitter feed, John?
Yeah, it was the one my pick from yesterday. Yeah,
he actually put it on ours, too.
I keep... threatening my wife that I'm going to sell them all and buy us more DVC points. So,
I'm in.
Exactly, right? I'd rather have the DVC points, but she likes her collection. So.
Dan, you sold all yours, didn't you, mostly?
Yeah, I got a few special ones left, but for the most part, they're all gone.
Do you miss it at all? Or?
Yeah, I do, but like John said, I've put the money towards, you know, other things, so I don't miss it in that regard.
You're putting it towards more trips.
Exactly. And that's a better way to spend the money, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, like with them, they're a little closer, so I guess it gives her, she looks forward to, because I remember how it was when I was trying to find that next NASCAR piece that nobody else had or could barely get. It was, the rush was really exciting, and then about a week or two later, I'm looking at it hanging on the wall like, I'm over it.
Right. Well, Disney pretty much shot themselves in the foot when it came to my wife and collecting those, because she loved to trade. I mean, that was her big thing. You know, you could buy the blind box, and if you got somebody you didn't care for or you didn't want, you were able to trade it and get something better, and you can't do that anymore. So I think since they stopped trading, she's maybe purchased one, maybe two Vinylmations, and that was it. And it was something that she bought one or two every trip we made. So
yeah, I've cut way back. I'll grab, like, you know, if they come out with a special one for Food and Wine like they've been doing, I'll grab that one, and that'd probably be a trip if you know. I don't have any others that I'd be interested in. I just don't collect them like I used to.
No, like with me, I got, like, the ones you gave me, we talked about this before.
Yep.
They're special to me. Like, certain ones, that if it's a memory, then I love it. But just to start buying them, just to have them, I don't want to do that no more. It's more of somebody got it for me, or if I'm just buying one to commemorate the trip or something like that, or, like, you got me the Epcot trash cans.
Yep.
If there's another special set of them to come out, me and Brenda are there, maybe we'll buy them. But I just don't want to get to the point where every trip I'm buying five or six.
Right, right. Or what you do, in my opinion, and some people do it, like you just pick some obscure thing that you love of Disney. For instance, like they do have a couple of Carousel of Progress Vinylmation, which you loving that attraction, I could see you, if you happen to run across
exactly
them, you would say, but you know there's only two or three of them, and once you get them, you're done, and you don't need to, you know, get 20 or 30 or 40 of them. You know, that way you can limit your, you know, your
addiction.
Yeah, exactly, and the money you're going to spend on them. But, I mean, some people just collect the classic attractions, or, you know, I was going to say you can't pick a character, particularly Mickey, because there's probably a couple hundred with Mickey in them in one shape, way, or form. So
How many Mickey ones do you have, John?
I'm looking at my shelf right now. I've got just like five that are different Grumpies. and then I've got Tom Morrow. He's a cool one. And there's probably 30 or 40 of them up there that I have. I've got the entire collection of Indiana Jones, because that's one of my favorite movies. it's a problem. But
it's cool. I mean, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it.
My most favorite one that I have left from my original collection, John, you've probably seen this one. It's the 9-inch one, the bigger one. And it's the Epcot one with the spaceship Earth as the head, and it's got all the flags as the body. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one, I paid some decent money for that one. I didn't get it at cost. I got it off the secondary market. So I had wanted that one for years. So what I did is I sold a bunch of my other ones and got the money from the proceeds from that sale and bought this one that I had been chasing for years. And I said, you know, this is one that I wanted, so that's the centerpiece of my collection right now.
You know, how we got bit into this was when Vinylmation first came out. My son just picked a blind box for it, and we went and got it, and it was a Series 1, and he didn't get the balloon one that's worth a fortune.
Yeah, but the
he
chaser. Did get
he got the gold one, and it ended up being worth $250 or something, so he sold that. And he felt like he was king of the world, so, you know.
At one time, John, not to get on the Vinylmation talk here, but a buddy of mine didn't even care about Vinylmation, but he happened to be down in Disney World, and he bought two complete cases, Park 1 and Park 2. They were just sitting on the shelf. This is way, way, obviously, when it first started, and I was over his house one day, and he said, I don't want these things, he says. And I knew what they were worth at the time, you know, that was two complete sets of Park One and obviously the Chaser you get in the case. So he sold them to me for, you know, what he paid for them, which was whatever a case was at that time. I forget what it was. Yeah, I was never, so I ended up selling one set, keeping a set, and eventually I sold the other set off at a, I made a good profit on those, let's just say.
I bet you did.
That's
a good thing.
Yeah, in fact, over the year, I ended up giving the Figment, one of the Figment ones, to Lou Mangiello's kid. He was not whining. He was saying on one of his shows once that his kid really liked Figment, and it's a shame he can't get the Park One Figment unless he wants to pay, you know, a couple $100, which he wasn't going to do. So I heard the show, and, you know, at the time I was listening to Lou quite a bit. So I just I contacted him, got his mailing address, and I just sent it to him and gave it to him to give to his kid, which he did do. And he thanked me for it, obviously. And he was going to send me all kinds of videos and audio books. And I said, Lou, I don't want anything. I said, I did it just because you sincerely wanted to, you know, have your kid enjoy it. And long as you give it to him and don't keep it for yourself, I said.
Long as he didn't see that on eBay in 2 weeks under Lou's account.
Yeah, as you know, Johnny, he is selling a bunch of stuff. And yeah. I could say that once along the way. I said, I better not see a Figment vinyl measure on your eBay account.
You're lucky. He's lucky. You're lucky he didn't have any pork roll along with it. I bet you'd have kept it.
Yeah. But anyways, that's just what I did.
That's the one thing. I'm not proud of it, and it's just me. But and I'm not putting you down. I'm glad you guys enjoy it, John. I mean, it's a cool looking case and it's neat. But that's the one thing I'm glad of. Happy about it. Glad of. I speak gooder English than you. I'm happy about is that I never got to where any of the souvenirs down there pulled me in, because as much as we spent on dinners and everything else down there, if me and my wife would have been addicted to buying all kind of things on our trips, we'd have gone in like we couldn't afford it. It would have been crazy, because I know I do have an addictive personality in a way when I start something like that. So I'm glad I never got into any of the Disney tchotchkes.
Yeah, my wife loves souvenirs, and that's probably why we don't eat out at some of the restaurants as often, because, you know, we look at our budget, and if we've got $200 to spend on that day, we're going to spend probably $40, $50 on food, and then the rest on silly souvenirs. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and see, me and my wife are both foodies, so that we collect restaurant. We collect dinners down there. That's what we look forward to. That's our favorite thing down there, trying different things, because we both like to explore different things. Neither one of us are scared to try anything. You know, there's certain things we don't try just out of principle, because like the lamb deal. We stay away from it just because there's something about it. I don't know. I ain't saying anybody's wrong for it. It's just wrong to me. But I don't know. We just don't go crazy buying anything. Like, usually with my wife, I got to make her buy something for the trip. You know, she'll buy a hat or something if her head's getting burnt. Like the last trip she forgot to bring. She has like a bunch of Disney hats, and she forgot to bring one with her. So we bought her another one out of necessity. But to get her to buy clothes in the clothier or something like that, I got to make her buy the stuff. Where my brother's wife, they're the same way. They'll go down for 2 weeks, and every day she's buying a new outfit for the trip.
Yeah.
But then they'll eat at Pecos Bills. They'll eat counter service. They don't do a lot of sit-downs because they spend all their money on her outfits.
No, I was just going to say, like you said, there's no right or wrong answer.
No.
I mean, some people collect things, some people don't. I mean, you go through fads and different things. I mean, we've all done it. Like you said, with the NASCAR, you understand the addiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think you said it rightly before. I think the thrill of the chase is better than actually obtaining the item you want, because once you have it and then you've spent all this money or all this time invested in trying to get it, you know, you're happy you have it, but you're kind of a little disappointed, I think, or at least I am.
Yeah, well, there's like with mine, it ended up where I built these cases for it, so they were hanging on the walls, which after a while I even stopped looking at them until somebody came over, and then you felt like you were annoying them to tell them, look at my stuff.
Right.
Look at my cars, man. You're trying to justify Hal, you got them hung in your office.
Right, right.
So I'm like pointing them out, bringing them in, and then you're looking at them like, oh, yeah, who gives a crap?
Right.
So then when we finally redid the room, I put them all away in the boxes because you have to keep the box or it's not worth nothing.
Right.
And then I'm like, they're sitting in the attic. I got a couple hundred cars sitting in the attic for what?
Right.
I'm going to die. I don't have any kids. Who's going to give a crap about them? Somebody else is going to sell them.
Right. You might as well dump them and get what you can for them.
Exactly. My wife is going to, she's going to like look at them and probably cry. One, because I spent all this money on them. And two, they remind her of me. And then three, now I got to get rid of them because I don't want these damn things. So it's just like a, all it's going to be is down the road a pain in the butt on her.
Yep. True. No. True.
So, I don't know. At least yours is into it with you. Like, my wife is a minimalist. Like, she feels happy. Like, her best days are we're throwing crap out. Like, if we clean the desk off or start cleaning the room and she could throw two bags of clothes away, she's so happy. She, like, likes to get rid of stuff. And I don't know if you're, I don't know if your wives are like that or whatever, but that's how Brenda is. She wants to get rid of stuff.
It must be a Pisces thing because I'm the thrower outer in our family too. I'll even go through the refrigerator. If something's more than 3 days old, get it the hell out of there. I want it gone. I'm serious.
That's how Brenda. My wife is, dude, I told her, and I know people don't want to hear this, so you can cut the show off now because we're going to babble. But no, my wife, she drives me nuts with that too. Like, we'll freeze stuff. And then even though it's frozen, she'll look at the sell-by date on. I'm like, well, Brent, we froze it. Well, it's been in there too long. It's like, why do we even have a freezer? It's like, we'll buy, you know, you buy one, get one free.
Yep.
The other one ain't free. It's getting thrown out if we don't eat it. So now I just make her cook it.
There you go.
It's like, it's sad. It's like, yeah, ice cream and stuff like that can stay in there. But right. Any kind of meats, man, she's all. And now she has me where I'm worried about it. But now I don't want to be the one to make us eat it. We get sick.
Right, right. Then you'll hear, I told you so forever.
Exactly. As we both had food poison. Yeah, it was all my fault. I get to say it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the opposite. My mom grew up during the Depression, and she instilled in me that, you know, that if you can use it at some point, you better keep it and make use of it, and you better eat all them leftovers and clean your plate. And so there's very little that I let go without trying to figure out a way to repurpose it or reuse it for something. So.
Yeah, you should start as a second job, start putting all that junk together and selling it as, like, art.
There you go.
Make some art pieces out of the old coffee maker you got out in the garage with the old ironing board. Maybe you glue it on top and sell it as John's Picasso. Whatever you keep. But no, guys, this has been a lot of fun again. You got anything else, John, you want to say about your shows coming up or...
No, that's about it. I'll probably know some more information next week, but yeah, as soon as it gets going, I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully I'll get some good stuff for you guys too. Like I said, I got the food and wine trip coming up in a couple of weeks, so I'm looking forward to that. So.
Wow.
Ken, maybe it'll cost us a couple less beers around here if he's drinking at another top bar, you know? He's kind of putting us out of business.
Man, I can't believe food and wine is... what date does it open up on, John?
I think our trip is Monday the 19th, and so September. I think it starts that Friday before, so what's that, the 16th, 17th, 16th,
wow.
So, yep.
I cannot believe it. That's awesome. Fall is here, winter's coming.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. Yep. Winter's coming. But yeah, we'll get our maps then.
Oh, yes, yes.
No, we probably won't. He'll probably send them over to the Disney dads.
Oh, gee whiz.
Oof. You know, he'll probably go over there. The Disney dads will get the maps.
No, your maps will be in the mail that day.
You ever see that couple when they know the wife's cheating on them? They can see the writing on the wall, Dad. They still have six-packs abs, Dan. We're getting a little fat around here.
Yeah.
But that's going to be it, guys. Please follow us over on Twitter at Grumpy6767, at Oak Manor, and at Beer Solo. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. And please, guys, go over to iTunes and leave us a review because that really helps us out, and it lets us know you are listening, and we really, really appreciate it. And we will talk to you guys real soon. Anything else, guys?
Nope. See you later.
That's it.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. The show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.